podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Harsh. You bought it, Mick.
I know, I did. And I don't know why.
Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And while the Twitter community obsesses over next season and what price Erling Haaland will be, we'd rather focus today on what's forthcoming in game week 37 and a big double game week for Aston Villa and Crystal Palace. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Villa correspondent, Lee Jackson. How are you, Lee?
Very good, man.
Good man. And our Crystal Palace correspondent, Mig Tavis. How are you, Mig?
I'm feeling great, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Thanks. Lee, let me start with you. You'll be the home team for this designated fixture. There's obviously a game to go tonight, but I tell you what, it's a good job you won the last cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was getting a bit nervous. It was getting a bit tense. We had a pretty poor run for a while, and there was a bit of pressure starting to look over our shoulders, especially when your likes of Burnley are going on such good runs and stuff. But yeah, feeling comfortable now. And I think the last match was sort of a sign where Gerrard's starting to experiment a little bit, playing Callum Chambers in midfield, that sort of thing. He's trying a few different things, which might not be the best for us FPL managers if he starts rotating and trying different systems. It makes it a little bit more unpredictable, potentially.
If you'd lost to Norwich and Burnley, Burnley would be level on points for you on 37, and you'd be 3 points clear of Leeds. Like genuinely, you would have been a bit worried, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. And the pressure at that point just starts mounting, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And Mig, same. You just won, importantly, your last couple as well against Southampton and Watford. Same thing. If you'd lost them both, all of a sudden you would have been in trouble as well, mate.
Yeah, we would have been part of Survival Sunday in a couple of weeks. But thankfully, we turned up at the right time.
I think you'd definitely survive. You got Man United last game, mate. Shouldn't be much of a problem. But you're both, I mean, it shows how tight it's been down that end of the table this year. You both go into tonight's games, I guess, for Lee's team against Villa, 11th and 10th, respectively, with eyes presumably on battling it out on the forthcoming Super Sunday for a spot in the top half. Lee, what chance do you give yourselves tonight against Liverpool?
Not much, really. Certainly can't see us keeping them out. Attacking-wise, they've just been so good. And when you've got such strength and depth that they've got now with the likes of Diaz to come off the bench, or Jota to come off the bench, or Mane, whoever it is, can't see a clean sheet, even in my wildest dreams. But I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't score against them. We've got some good strength and depth now with Buendia, Coutinho seeming to be rotating back and forth. Ings has been on the bench for a few. So we've got our options. But yeah, not necessarily confident that we'll get anything out of the game.
So not expecting a 7-2 repeat then, no?
Probably not. No, we'll take 6 this time, I reckon.
Right, you are, mate. How are we feeling about Steven Gerrard now? We're a few months in. I feel like it's been mixed. It's been kind of yo-yo. It feels like every time there's been good signs from Villa, it feels like it's been a step back. And then every time you've gone a bit concerned, you've had a couple of good results. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, it is. And certainly points per game, when you look at it since Gerrard took over, we've vastly improved. So it's positive. But still, like you say, there's just dips in form. We seem to really struggle this season against top half teams. We've beaten the bottom half largely when we've played them. But we've really struggled to pick points up against the top 6. We really haven't got a lot out of those games. So it doesn't potentially bode well for the Liverpool fixture, certainly. But looking further ahead at double game week 37, Palace Burnley at home, I think we'll fancy our chances.
Yeah, we'll come back onto the assets. And obviously, exactly what you're saying. Yes, home results this year, just looking through, I think you've lost every home game, I think, to the top 8, except a draw with United, I want to say. I think I've got that right. But that doesn't matter, obviously, for what's coming up. In fact, it almost bodes well. Can you put your finger on why that is? Because, I mean, Palace, for example, have had some great results. Obviously, 4 points against City this year, for example.
I think we're actually better this season at playing with possession. I think with players like Buendia and Coutinho that are playmakers, that have that skill to play a quick 1-2 and break a team down and beat a man. And with Dean and Cash getting forward more and offering that width, actually we're better this season, I think, at breaking teams down that we'll just try and sit in. Whereas last season, a lot of the time we relied on that counter-attack, the pace of your Grealish, your Watkins, to get in behind. If I think back to the 7-2 against Liverpool or even the 3-0 against Arsenal, it was all counter-attack. It was quick end-to-end stuff.
It's also yeah. Jack Grealish a lot, no?
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
What have you made of his season, just out of interest? Because he is getting talked about a lot.
Yeah.
From an FPL perspective, just what people think of him.
I don't know if it's just because I'm biased, because I've still got a massive soft spot for him after everything that he did for us. I'll always be grateful for that. Otherwise, we'd probably still be stuck in the Championship, in all honesty. But I don't think he's done that badly, really. Obviously, his returns haven't been great from an FPL point of view, goals and assists. But you look at the way he plays. I mean, that goal he set up for Sterling, I know it was at the end of the game on the weekend, but some of the way he plays and the way he beats people and picks out passes, he's still putting in good performances. I thought he was great when he came on in the Champions League, and he seemed to get really slated for that because he didn't score the
one. So true. The narrative, if he'd scored, would have been completely different.
Yeah.
I was not happy. I was looking for the Foden assist there, so I wasn't very happy that he passed it on, in fairness. But yeah, I think just briefly, I've said this a few times, just judge him in 12 months. And I know people don't want to because of the money, but historically with City, it tends to be year two. Oh, there we are back talking about Erling Haaland again. McTavious, how are you perceiving Palace's season now? It seems to have flirted between the brilliant and then other times, similarly to Villa, it's been, are you still looking over your shoulder? I'm thinking back to the night you played Leeds. There was almost a little bit of concern all of a sudden if you'd have lost that night that you might get sucked in.
Yeah, it was. It did. It was one of those seasons where because it's been such a positive season, especially the way we've played, you know, we've got a plus goal difference for a change. Even though the position in the table hadn't really changed when we got to around the Leeds game, we were still sort of 14th compared to last season 14th. But I think that kind of got away, especially with me. I kind of looked at the table and was like, oh, we're only like 5-6 points above Burnley here. You know, we could get dragged down.
Suddenly they'll put some form together, whereas it looks very comfortable, right?
And then thankfully I thought the semi-final result might have shaken their confidence a little bit, and they did look a little bit sluggish afterwards. But thankfully in the last couple of games, we picked it up. 4 clean sheets at home in the last 4 games. I mean, the last 2 of the last 3 are away, but, you know, guaranteed 3 points at the end of the season. So I think we'll be fine.
This is a lot for United, isn't it? They lost 4-0 at the weekend and no one even blinked about it, really. It's interesting you mentioned, obviously, the away games. I have a feeling that Palace are a different team, home and away. Is that fair, Mig? And it's ironic because I feel like you've been one of the most dangerous counter-attacking teams away from home, where if you underestimate you'll come and hurt teams. But it does feel like you've been a lot stronger at home this year, or is that just perception?
No, I think it has been a lot better at home. We always were quite weak at home because when we're away, we can play the counter-attacking side. You know, we can defend really well and then use the likes of Zaha and stuff at the time to break. Whereas at home, the emphasis was on us to be the sort of attacking side, the possession side, something that wasn't really accustomed to Roy and his style of football. But this season, with the likes of Elise and Eze and people like Gallagher in the middle, even Kouyaté playing more of a midfield role rather than centre-back for the whole season, we were able to sort of control games a little bit more, especially at the start of the season. And we're not conceding goals in injury time and costing ourselves points now like we did earlier in the season. When
you'd argue
we could have been about
for Europe,
fifth
possibly,
now.
If that hadn't happened. Mm. Yeah. No, I think I'm possibly being a bit harsh, actually, looking at your returns away from home. 1-4, drawn 6, lost 7. So it's more than a point a game. Actually ranks you 12th and played a game less than a few, although it'd only take you up to 11th. Actually, ironically, just behind Villa, we've got 22 points away from home this season, despite losing 10 of them. You've only lost 7 on the road, Mig. So I'm not sure where my perception's coming from, actually. Maybe it's the lack of wins, I think, only having 1-4, I think.
Yeah, is the draw, you only really remember when you win like a big away game, like when you win at Man City and stuff like that, or keep two clean sheets against the possible champions. You know, they're the sort of things you remember, not whether or not if it was a win or a whether or not it was a loss or a draw. They kind of start blurring together because you want to remember the positive results, even though obviously some of those draws would have been more than positive at the time.
So with that in mind, here's the irony. Lee, you got more points away from home than at home.
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
So where's my Palace perception coming from? I should be throwing this at you, shouldn't I?
No, Villa Park hasn't been a fortress this season. That's a fact.
Any reason?
No, I can't put my finger on it. I'm really not sure. I know the fans can be a bit harsh on the players. You know, you get the old, when there's a misplaced pass and stuff.
Don't know what football you're watching, mate.
I don't know whether it's just Villa Park, but I do feel like the fans can turn a little bit sometimes if we're losing or if it's 0-0 after 60 minutes in a game they perceive they should be doing better in.
Yeah, interesting. What's your hopes next season, Lee? Where do you want this to go? Where do Villa fans expect to be in 12 months?
I mean, the long-term ambition is Europe. Whether that's Conference League or Europa League, that's where most of the Villa fans, and a lot of the Villa fans, have lofty ambitions because they can remember the European nights of old. But that is ultimately where we want to be. And that's where the owners have stated their ambition is to get Villa back to where they used to be in Europe. But I think season-on-season progress would be great. We finished 11th last season. If we finished 10th this season, that's progress. If we finish 9th next season, that would be progress. I think that's the main thing. But ultimately, yeah, Europe.
So what's that, 2034 for the title, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Okay,
cool. What's Palace expectations, Mick? Because it feels like this top half finish that people talk about a lot is so elusive for you. Mm. I want to say there hasn't been a top half finish. I don't think this century has been one as there. I think in the 90s, am I right in saying?
No. We've had one quite recently. We finished 10th a couple of seasons ago.
Was that under Tony Pulis when he took you flying? From a terrible start, I want to say, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, doesn't matter.
It was one of those. Guys.
But people talk about this top half finish a lot. Is it important?
I think it is. It shows it's definite progress. I mean, obviously, we struggled so much to get into the league and then just staying in the league. We were one of these sides that were like a proper yo-yo. So staying in the league was the main thing. And then sort of we became a mid-table side or mid-top sort of middle, the bottom half of the league. So that sort of seemed like a peak that we, as long as we stay there, then we're doing all right. We're doing good business. We're, you know, we got Roy, we're staying on there. But now with this sort of rejuvenation of the squad, Vieira coming in, all the young players and stuff, there's a definite eye to finishing higher and breaking through that sort of top 10 barrier, because that sort of, obviously you got the big sides in the top six and stuff like that, but from like 7 to 11, there's a real mix of sides that can go in there. You could, like, West Ham have sort of broken through into those bigger sides. Leicester had their time, but they're kind of dropping down to the 7th, 8th, 9th. Wolves are always there. Brighton are doing all right this season.
They are, mate, in fairness.
They are. Yeah, but, you know, well, the main thing of finishing above Brighton probably means we're finishing top half of the table. It's probably the biggest compliment I can give them.
Right. Get down to bookies and get some money on Brighton. And that, I mean, they're flying at the moment, in fairness, after having had a horrendous run. How are you feeling about Big Patrick Vieira now?
Yeah,
it's interesting what you hear, because my perception is great first season, like couldn't have asked for much for. Mm. But then there's a lot of others who look at it and go, we still put them off. Has it actually improved? Where do you sit with it?
That's the thing, Nick. It was the bookie's favourite to be fired before Christmas. He had half a squad to work. We only had like 10 players turn up for the first session of pre-season training. He's built a new squad. He's got a great relationship with the players. You just have to see him with like Eze and Zaha and stuff. You know, they're what that, which wasn't really there with Roy. It was more of a father sort of figure, maybe even grandfather to most of them. It's all relationship.
Great grandfather.
Probably. I mean, Elise is like ancient. But he has more of a, almost like a sort of older brother sort of feel to it, like an older friend that they sort of banter against each other. So I think the positivity in the squad is a lot better. And yeah, we were around a similar place in the table, but you just have to look at the results against City, the fact that we have a plus goal difference now, whereas we were sort of mired in negative goal differences and we were struggling and getting like 1-0 wins when we could, and the football wasn't great to watch. And we got to a Wembley semi-final. I mean, you can't really argue with a trip to Wembley. Two would have been nice, but, you know.
Was you disappointed we've had a semi when?
I was a bit. I thought holding on to half time. Yeah, we sort of dropped off in the second half. But then that's when sort of Chelsea, we had our opportunities in the first half. If we have taken a couple of those going into the second half, with the way that Chelsea have been playing the first, I think we might have been able to hold out and snatch and grab a win. But the fact that Tuchel probably twisted some nipples or something during half time, you know, it obviously riled them up and got them playing, unfortunately.
And just a quick word on Hodgson, because I imagine it feels quite sad for you seeing what's happened at Watford.
Why is that?
Well, in terms of that, for him, it, like...
Agent Roy had a great little spell in his retirement. No, but so I don't think it was ever going to be a job that he. Well, the Watford job is really rarely something you can succeed at. The way they go through managers,
you get 3 months there, and you might have cut £1 million and move on with your life.
I mean, you know, he was getting bored at home. What can I do? I'll go manage Watford for a few months, you know, I'll try to keep them safe, but it's probably not going to happen. And, you know, I'll just enjoy my a few months, get out of the house, and, you know, then I'll go back, enjoy my summer.
Okay.
Let's and you've got a CBE blessing.
Yes. Let's talk a bit of FPL, gents. Mig, can you give me any reason not to buy Wilfred Zaha this week?
No.
Straight as like that, is it?
Well, he's become a penalty merchant only for taking them rather than winning them.
It's this year's Bruno Fernandes.
Mm. I mean, he's like a reborn Milivojevic.
Just a slightly more expensive version, basically. Yeah, I mean, but at 6.8, he's great value, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm planning on bringing him in for Mount. It's my probably transfer. Whether or not captain him, probably not. But yeah, I can't see why not. He had his sort of rest a couple of games ago when he started on the bench, but then he still came on and got a return. So he's in good form.
Seven goals in 10.
Enjoying football. I mean, you know, I can't see why not.
Lee, is there a case, Lee, and it's difficult to say, I know ahead of the Liverpool game and no one's asking you to decide now, but is there a case for me to get him for Coutinho?
Yeah, I think so, if you want. I feel like Zaha is probably more likely to start both games in the double.
I mean, that's a certainty, isn't it?
I think Coutinho could well start both. He's had a rest now. But yeah, I don't mind that at all. I don't mind it. The thing that put me off Palace was when I looked into their data that their away from home goals scored numbers weren't great and the XG away from home wasn't great. That was what, because I was looking at Zaha last week and ultimately decided not to in the end. That was anything that put me off.
We're back to that perception again, Mig. You scored 20 goals in 17 away games, which I guess is par de course for roughly where you are in the league. It's a similar number to Leeds, similar numbers to Brentford, it's similar number to Villa. It's more than Newcastle, it's more than Watford, it's more than Southampton.
So, outperforming the XG by 4 goals, though.
Yeah, but Heung-Min Son does that every week, Lee. So
he doesn't play for Palace.
Not yet.
He plays for the world-class Tottenham Hotspur, yeah.
You heard it here first.
No, very fair point. What did you make when you saw Lee that Coutinho wasn't in the team on Saturday? You must have had some sort of emotional reaction whether that was good, bad. What was the emotion rather than the thinking from an FPL perspective? What was the emotion?
I had a conversation with my old man a few weeks ago after we sort of, I think it was, might have been after the Norwich game when we got the win. And it was sort of like, right, we're safe now. This can't, we surely, unless we lose all of our games, we're safe now. And I just sort of said, let's experiment. Let's try things. Let's try five at the back. Let's try playing a few different systems and then just take that into next season. Let Gerrard experiment a bit. Put Leon Bailey in the starting 11 for a bit. Put Buendia in for a bit. So I wasn't that concerned. My first initial reaction was I thought he was playing five at the back because I saw Chambers, Konsa, and Mings in there. Obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case.
Yeah, the giveaway seems to be with the team lineup on Twitter. I had Chambers in midfield, seemed a bit of a giveaway, but you would have thought naturally, back three.
Yeah, but no, my initial reaction when I saw it was good. We're trying something different. Apart from the fact I own Coutinho, so that was annoying. But from a purely Villa point of view, I was like, good, we're trying something different. Buendia deserves a start. Let's see how this goes as a sort of Chambers midfield or back 5-3-2 type thing.
What have you made of him, Coutinho?
I think he's absolute class. I think I said this last time I was on. As soon as he came on against United and we ended up drawing 2-2 in that match, I just watch him when I play. He's one of those players where even if he hasn't got the ball, I'll just be watching his movement. And when he does get the ball, his first touch is just so often perfect. His weight of pass. It reminds me of Grealish in that when he's got the ball, you never think he's going to lose it. I just think he's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant.
It's written in the stars that he scores against Liverpool, isn't it?
What was that?
It's written in the stars that he scores against Liverpool.
Yeah, he's got to, hasn't he?
I don't think he's gonna start me.
Why not? I bought him in my wild card. Come on, one start.
might come on and get a return, perhaps. But do you definitely want to sign him, Lee?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, obviously it depends on the numbers for wages and that sort of thing, but gut feel as a fan is I'd love to see him in a Villa shirt next season.
Yeah, I get that. He's obviously got the quality. There's a few things that concern me. One, that the returns since the debut have only been against Leeds home and away and Southampton at home. There were 10 goals scored across those three fixtures. His performance against Arsenal, I thought, was disastrous. He couldn't pass the ball further than 10 yards to anybody. The first half against us, and then drifted off a little bit as the game went on and the game went away from Villa. So it seems to be blowing a little bit hot and cold, it feels to me. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. Certainly, like you say, that Spurs game first half, I thought it was class. I think he's been class more than he's been poor. That Arsenal game aside, I don't think there have been many bad performances. But the returns haven't always been forthcoming, but there have been a couple where he's sort of assisted the assist.
I
was going to say, is it the sort of thing where he's come in and he's improved the side and improved the players around him, even though he hasn't really got the returns himself?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to attribute what his impact has been, but you look at someone like Jacob Ramsey, who's clearly a youngster, is in a similar position to Coutinho on the pitch, and he's just getting better and better with every week that goes by.
Do you think that's a correlation to Coutinho? Because I think that was happening anyway, wasn't it, before?
Yeah, and that's why I say it's hard to know. Is that Gerrard's coaching? Is it Coutinho? Is it just him maturing as a player? But there's probably a part of that to play in that someone like Coutinho has got to be good for youngsters in the dressing room's experience and the head on him.
Because the argument is, and we spoke about Grealish a little bit, was this identification of the three players that you'd got in to basically essentially replace Grealish, Buendia, Bailey and Danny Ings. But you throw Coutinho into that mix as well, there's no way they're all playing, is there? It just doesn't work.
And this is it. When Coutinho first came into the side, he started on the bench. And then as soon as he won a spot in the 11, Ings dropped to the bench. There was five games where Buendia and Coutinho both started. And then last match, obviously, Coutinho's dropped out and Buendia and Ings have started. So no, it seems to be Watkins starts every game when he's fit, but two of Ings, Coutinho and Buendia start. Seems to be the way it goes.
Yeah, when I look at that now, even if you were to go, say, 4-2-3-1, someone's missing out from that five, isn't there? Bailey can't keep himself fit, can he? But
no.
He's a super talent as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's very much been, you say about his Coutinho hot and cold. Bailey's been very much hot and cold. When he came on against Everton, scored 2 goals in 20 minutes and then went off, everyone was just like, my God, this guy's amazing. It's incredible. But we haven't seen that very often.
Yeah, I just wonder if when they reflect in the summer, they might go, with Buendia, we've already got a similar-ish sort of player.
Mm.
Or do you think Buendia's not good enough?
Oh, no, I don't doubt Buendia at all. I think he's class. I think he's very good.
And he was good at the weekend at Burnley, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And he looked really good off the bench for a few weeks. And he was fully deserving of that start, which is why, as I say, I wasn't too disappointed that Coutinho missed out. Now, I think you're right. I think there's every chance they could look at it and go, Coutinho, do we need him? Buendia does that job. And we've got Ramsey, who's a youngster coming through as well.
It's very difficult to look at it at the weekend at the moment, because obviously still got a game tonight. But do you expect the front three to be the same as Burnley at the weekend with Buendia behind the two?
I wouldn't bet on it.
It would seem really harsh to drop any of those three.
Exactly.
When they all returned at the weekend.
This is it, but the only one that you can pin your hat on starting is Watkins.
Oh, that's, he's definitely benched today.
I know, it's going to happen now, isn't it? Now I've said that.
Make the case that he's due for the bench and all the others have had it. Yeah. But Gerrard really likes him, doesn't he? I think it's clear.
Yeah, and you look at the stats for his like pressures and stuff and closing down, and it's just a workhorse. He never stops.
Yeah, I think since Gerrard come in, there's only two games that Watkins hasn't started, and actually he's getting a lot more 90 minutes as well. Those two games where I think he had COVID when he lost at Brentford just into New Year, I want to say.
Correct.
And he didn't start home to Watford. He came on as a substitute and he lost that day and didn't play very well. So I think he's learned he wants Watkins in. If you look back, going back to the win at Brighton, which actually was the last time we spoke to you, was just after that game. He's played all but 9 minutes since then. Makes you think, yes, that the Watkins will definitely be he's going to get benched. And I can feel it in my bones now. So what are you making of Danny Ings? Does Watkins need Ings? Does Ings need Watkins? Are they suitable on their own? Do they need to be a pair?
I think it's taken time for them to start working as a pair. But the last two games, they've looked very good as a pair. Certainly in the Burnley game at the weekend, they were playing little 1-2s between each other. And against Norwich, they're playing 1-2s off each other and stuff. And they look very, very comfortable as a pair. But no, Ings has been a bit disappointing, but he's had a couple of injuries. He's been in and out of the team. But yeah, out of the forwards, Ings is the one that's disappointed a little bit.
What are you on strategy-wise in FPL for this week, Lee?
This week that we're halfway through, I'm on bench boost.
For 37?
37, no chips left. So just seeing it out.
So you're working with transfers. What have you got, Villa?
I've got Coutinho, and that's it.
What's the thinking at this minute in time?
It will just be Coutinho from a Villa point of view.
No thoughts to add of Watkins?
No, Richarlison's more of a priority for me because I've only got Nketiah, Dennis and Pukki.
Okay, interesting. Does Coutinho stay for you regardless? Like even if he's not in the team against Liverpool tomorrow night and then let's say you play well and win. Does he still stay?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, with two nice home games, he's going to start one of them, you'd think. So, yeah, I think he does stay for me regardless.
Are they two nice home games?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Mick turned his head. I was thinking more, to be fair, Mick, I was thinking more Burnley are fighting for their lives, mate.
Oh, yeah, they got something to play for, you know.
No, they absolutely have. What's your plan, Mig? What are you on for 37? Are you on any chips or anything?
I do have a free hit left, but I'm probably going to save that for 38.
Okay. Do I need to ask you twice if you're... So you're on free transfers this week. You got one or two?
Just one. Because I played my wild card.
Have you got any Villa players?
Yes, I do. I had three of them.
Have you got any questions you want to ask Lee?
Why have I got three of them?
You tell me, mate.
Well, I got Coutinho and I got Watkins, and then I was going to get cash, but I wasn't really paying attention to the prices, so I got priced out by 0.1, so I ended up getting Mings. But
at least you didn't get Konsa. Could have been worse.
I was going to say Ashley Young, to be honest.
Or that.
No one should get Ashley Young.
That was brutal for people who bought Ashley Young. What happened there, Lee? Because we didn't all misread that. Dean was out for the season, right?
Yeah, Gerard said Dean's out for the season. That's it, done. And everyone went, right, Ashley Young. And I even said to people on Twitter, I was like, yeah, Ashley Young's cheap. He's going to start every game.
What? Do we know what's happened now? Just miscommunication or... Just
unbelievable
magic
medical
sponge
stuff.
Suddenly yeah, worked yeah. or...
Just going back from the dead.
I mean, Mig, I've got free Villa as well, mate. I've got cash. I've got Coutinho. I've got Watkins. Watkins and cash going absolutely nowhere as long as they come through the week unscathed, if you will. Coutinho, as I said, I'm openly. I'm open to the possibility. And if I'm definitely going Zaha. I can't see any reason that I don't buy Wilfred Zaha this week. And I'm just wondering if Coutinho's 2 1-pointers, if it's him that should go. But I agree with you. It feels like he'll start one, surely, and it's still one decent fixture.
Yeah, I can't say anything to put you off going Coutinho to Zaha, really. It's just that for me, Richarlison's more of a priority. I think his two home fixtures are nice.
I had a feeling that Coutinho would play deeper on Saturday. I always had a suspicion that he might not start this Liverpool game because I thought he might go in very differently because of the opposition. I actually thought he might play in the deeper and played the Ramsey position at Burnley, actually. Mm. Do you think that's something, and probably not for Tuesday night, but if Ramsey's still out, and at the time the word is won't play Liverpool, but could be back 37, we'll come back onto him in a minute. Could you see Coutinho playing in that deeper role for the two home games, maybe?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
But then like I say, that doesn't make him a great option if he plays that position, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. From a Villa point of view, like you say, he's pinged out a lot of good passes. He's done that kind of playmaker position really well for Villa this season. He does pick the ball up from deep. So, yeah, I don't see why he couldn't do that role if he was asked to do it.
So, Mick, you've got Coutinho, yeah?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I'll probably leave him there. I mean, I assume he'll feature in both, hopefully start at least one of them. I wasn't really... He was one of the... When I done my wild card in 35. He was one of the first ones I put into the team because I was just like, plum fixtures, it's Coutinho. Well, I'm not really going to think too much about it. So when he was benched, I was a little bit shocked, to say the least. I mean, obviously, I'm not keeping track of his minutes and performances all too much. But I'll probably, because, and you know, he's got a double game week. We always have preferences and biases towards double game weeks, even when it's Burnley and Watford.
And we've been down this route. Can we all learn next year the Veghorst and the Dennis's like this?
I mean, I've got Cabaselli in my team. Cabaselli.
The problem is Mitrovic and Solanke. Here we go. We're talking about next season again. They're going to be decent options potentially. So I take it you are planning to get Zaha this week as well.
Yeah, I'll probably ship Mount out for him.
Okay. Yeah. You said. And Lee, you thinking about Zaha?
No, like I said, it's just Richarlison's the priority for me. My midfield's Salah, Coutinho, Saka, Son. I don't feel desperate urge to sell any of those.
Who's your fifth?
Dewsbury Hall.
Have you got Kane?
Nope.
Okay, that answers that one. It probably doesn't work for you then. That's fair enough. Should we be looking at Gallagher, Mig? He's got the same FPL points as Zaha this season.
They've kind of had a first and second half of each of their seasons. I mean, Gallagher obviously kicked up to a flyer. He was an FPL darling sort of up until just into the new year. And he sort of dropped off a little bit. And then Zaha's obviously come to premonition in the last 10 games or so.
Gallagher's three attacking returns since game week 16. And two of them were in a win at Watford.
He was so good at the start as well, wasn't it?
I don't think his performances have particularly dropped off.
No, it's just the returns. He's just doing other things for the teams, and in games he's been unlucky. I mean, in the semi final, he could have scored a couple of goals. The game before that, he had a shot on the turn, and it just went and hit the side netting. You know, he's had his chances. He's just in a bit of a dry run from getting the returns. And similarly, is, you know, sometimes the third, fourth man in a move. And it's the guys like Zaha getting the returns. And Mateta went on a bit of a run with returns. And So it kind of falls on, like, it went to Gallagher and then it went to Mateta and now it's on Zaha. So it's all like one player seems to shine for a few weeks and then it moves on to someone else. But I at the moment, in terms of form, I would go Zaha over Gallagher, but Gallagher could easily get a return or a couple in the next few weeks.
Could you make any case for Eze? Was that way too much of a gamble? I'm thinking primarily here for people who maybe shorted Zaha money.
Mm.
How much is Eze?
5.9.
If he was short, I'd probably side with Elise over Eze.
I thought you'd say that, yeah. Elise's 5.3.
Yeah, and he did well on the last game because they played what people have been calling for most of the time with Zaha out on the left, Elise out on the right, Edouard in the middle, but also sort of switching with Zaha and then Eze in a sort of number 10 role behind him because I think he does a lot better there than he does out on the wing. He kind of can drift out sometimes, but I think he's... It really how he sets up. Obviously, I can probably confidently say we're safe now. So he may start experimenting with being a bit more attacking and stuff and keep Eze in the side. So his minutes have been quite rotated for the whole season, pretty much. He hasn't really got many, but he did get a goal. You know, he's broke his duck for the season. So he may keep him in there. We played well on the weekend, but I would probably side with Elise in terms of if you can't get to Zaha.
We had you on late January, Mig, with Mark before you went to Norwich and you had a brilliant little run of fixtures there. And I spoke to you then about Elise and that I couldn't get there. I just had other fires and it really annoyed me that I couldn't get to him. And actually, since then, 3 assists.
Mm.
That's it. You're gambling on a player here who hasn't scored since game week 21 against West Ham. And ironically, a lot of his returns this season actually seem to have come as a substitute, actually, as well. Mm. But I really like him as a player, by the way.
And a lot of his returns came in the FA Cup. I mean, he pretty much got us through most of the rounds, him and Mateta. So it just happened to control games and be better in the games that didn't help FPL players, generally, for them.
If you were free hitting this week, Lee, and you were looking for someone in and around that value, we've got Gallagher 6, Eze 5.9, Elise 5.3. Would you throw McGinn into the conversation at 5.6?
No, I don't think so. I think if I was on free hit this week, I'd be going all the way down to Gordon if I couldn't get to Zaha.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. If you were free hitting this week, Lee, favourite free Villa?
Cash, Coutinho, Watkins.
Okay, I've not done too badly then. Mig, would you want to change your Villa free to something else if you were free hitting, do you think?
Well, I would obviously have preferred Cash to Mings, but maybe Mings to Martinez, you know, but possibly. But I don't think, I'm not sure I'd want three attacking Aston Villa players, I don't think.
I wonder if the template front three this week might be Richarlison, who you've spoken about, Lee, Ollie Watkins, we've spoken about, and Danny Ings. Why not? If we've got concerns about Coutinho, Buendia, and we're saying Zaha, Gordon are probably the two from the teams that got doubles, the only two you that maybe arguably have interest in, why not then keep your Salahs and Sons and go with that front three? Lee's not impressed with that. It's your team, pal.
No, I don't mind Ings at all. I don't mind Ings. I do think there's a chance that he's going to miss out on one of the games.
Say, so would you probably rather go with like Ramsey as an attacker rather than
if he was fit.
Watkins double up?
Well, that's super risky, isn't it? What would you say, Lee, to those who've still got? Because I know a few people have put their bench boost off till this week primarily because of Jacob Ramsey.
I would say you've been incredibly unlucky, first of all, because he's stayed fit all season and you've caught just the wrong time when you needed him to be fit. Wait for the press conference. Gerrard's usually fairly transparent with injury updates.
Yeah, Luca Dean's out for the season. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if he says Ramsey's out for the season, then you might as well put the captain's armband on it.
Yeah, then clearly he's going to start. No, it's tough. It's tough.
Move to Gordon, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah, probably.
It probably really is. Yeah. Would you do that for a hit? Do you think?
If we don't get any update on Ramsey, or if Gerrard says that Ramsey's still carrying an arc, it's touch and go, one of those, yeah, I probably would take Ramsey to Gordon for a hit.
Yeah. If you were free hitting Mig, how many Palace?
Well, it's a double game week, so you load up on them, don't you? I mean, I'd probably go for maybe Gay, Zaha. The front is whether I would have probably said Mateta as well, but with him starting Edouard, so yeah, maybe someone in the midfield, or just going a bit cheaper and just going with another defender. Because even Guaita got rotated, but I think he'll probably come back in for the next game, I'd imagine.
Yes, very true. Yeah, that was kind of overlooked really at the weekend. I don't think that's because Watford didn't have many shots on goal. Not too many people noticed, other than Gator owners, I should presume. Gahey, a little bit of a doubt. He went off early at the weekend, didn't he? He is 0.1 cheaper than Anderson. If he gets passed off, because money's probably not going to be a problem for free hitters, would you prefer Gahey over Anderson for those who want to look?
He would probably be my preference of the two. I think he's probably carrying a bit more of an attack at a set piece, but I think of the two, if he's past fit, then yeah, that'd be the either him or, well, I would have said Mitchell, but he seems to be in and out of the side at the moment anyway.
The reason is there because it was knock, knock, back on the bench. I mean, that's obviously kind of a no-go now, but any thoughts on why? Because obviously Joel Ward's playing out of position at left back at the moment.
Yeah, I think it may just be a thing like he's still very young as a player, and he played most of last season. He's played pretty much all of this season. So a knock, maybe, probably, you know, we're not really fighting. If we had got through to the final, then he may have been trying to rush him back a little bit more. But if he's got a knock and he doesn't really want to risk him, he's probably going to be our main left back again next season. You know,
I think there's probably something where there's been enough doubt and they've not risked it. I think he'll be banging on the door to say, you've got to play me, because he's going to want to go and play for England in these Nations League games in June. So he's going to want some games and stuff. So I'd be really surprised, actually, if this continued with Mitchell.
I'd imagine he'd be back by the weekend.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I think he'll come back in, actually. Mateta, that's just sit and keep your fingers crossed, isn't it, I think?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just a little bit of a roulette. I'd imagine he might go back with him. He seems to be rotating the forwards. I mean, he played Mateta for quite a few games in a row there, which was probably a shock to Mateta's body as much as anyone else's mind. So he's given him his rest. He'll probably be back at the weekend as well, I'd imagine. Maybe Zaha and Elise on either side of him.
You think he'll start, probably?
Yeah, why not?
So no consideration for Edouard? Wouldn't go near that?
No, I don't think I would tread near. Even though the last time I came on, I was like, yeah, Edouard's the most nailed Palace forward you can possibly go for. And then the fella disappeared for 3 months.
Lee, we've joked about Luca Dean, obviously. He is fit. Is there a case for free hitters to go him over Matty Cash now?
Yeah, I think so. If you want to try something different, if you're chasing and your mini league rival's got Cash, there's every chance that Dean could outscore Cash. Look at the underlying
mini league rival that you're trailing cannot have Luca Dean, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, probably not. Seems unlikely. I was looking into the underlying data though, and throughout the course of the season, Dean's expected assists been better than Cash's.
You're on the wrong podcast, Lee, I'm telling you, mate. He's a troll, isn't he? He's a troll.
It's all Greek to me. I don't know what he's talking about. I never expect assists from anyone.
I think Dean's more likely to get you an assist. Cash is probably more likely to get you a goal.
Yes, and it felt like that having looked back on the Burnley game as well.
Ash had a really good effort.
Yeah, he really did, actually. Yeah, he really did. No, I'm quite happy to have Matty Cash certainly again for next week. I'm not expecting anything tonight, obviously. Is there a case for those actually buying and maybe want to buy a player? Again, perhaps looking at an enabler. Perhaps maybe people have gone Tavares this week, want to go sideways. Matt, any case for Callum Chambers now at 4.2?
I don't love it. I don't love it at all. Just risky, isn't it? He could so easily drop out. He could so easily drop out and not play another minute this season.
Okay, that's off the table. So for you, Dean, yeah?
Yeah, Dean or Cash.
Which one, Lee? People are free hitting.
I think if you're free hitting, Cash is the sensible one. But if you've got Dean, I wouldn't be swapping him to get Cash.
So what you're saying is not Mings.
Yeah, very clear on that, Mick. Not Mings.
Gotcha.
Well, say that, but he's always a threat from set plays and stuff, isn't he?
To the other players, yeah.
Harsh. You bought him, Mick.
I know, I did. And I don't know why. But yeah, I bought Tavares as well, so you know, gone off to a blinder.
If it was to be the centre-back, so I think Konsa, because of what's happened with Chambers recently, would be a no, wouldn't it? Mings... You could make the case for. I just.
If you can't afford Cash or Dean,
buy Cash or Dean, surely.
Yeah, if you really can't, then Mings is the one. Mings is the one over Cash or over Concert or Chambers.
Okay, cool. I think that's probably just about a wrap then. I think that's covered most of you guys off. I'll do a few quick fires with you guys. You can both answer it in one word. These are all if you were free hitting questions this week. Lee, Martinez or Gator?
Martinez.
Same question, Mig.
Martinez.
Mig, Gahee or Mings?
Gahee.
Lee, same question.
Mings.
Lee, Zaha or Coutinho?
Zaha.
Mig, same question.
Wilf.
Ovs. Mig, Mateta or Ings?
Ings.
Lee?
It's a close one, Ings.
And Lee, McGinn or Aliso?
Neither.
Good answer, Mig.
Sorry.
Aliso, don't even know good who man. The other guy is.
Yep, back your boy. John McGinn's always got a shot on him, Lee.
McGinn again.
Mm.
Right, let's do correct score predictions before we let you go. Lee, firstly, tonight, the Villa-Liverpool game.
3-1 Liverpool.
Palace on Sunday.
2-0 Villa.
Burnley on next Thursday.
1-0 Villa.
You think you beat Palace more than you beat Burnley?
Yeah.
Mig? Sunday, away to Villa. Prediction?
I think 1-0.
And away to Everton next Thursday?
I think sneaky 2-1.
Sneaky 2-1. Interesting. I'll stick with my original prediction for tonight, Lee, which is 3-0 to Liverpool. I mean, Gerrard.
Cheers, mate.
At least he gave Mings a goal.
Gerrard's going to be bringing himself on the play up front for Liverpool, isn't he? You're playing all sorts of dodgy back passes. Sunday, man, that's a really tough call, actually. I'm going to go 1-1, I think. Next Thursday, Lee, I'll go 2-1 you against Burnley, I think. And actually, Mig, I might change my mind on this before the weekend, but I'd maybe say you to win at Everton as well, actually, 2-1. And my thinking behind that particularly is that I think, actually, Everton might be safe by the time it comes around, possibly, if they win at Watford and then win on Sunday. I think it actually be a dead rubber, actually, by the time it comes around, possibly. Whereas I think yourselves with Burnley, Lee, I can't see Burnley getting themselves safe by then. Obviously, no. Everton have got two results that they can potentially gain by then. But thank you both very much, guys. Very best of luck for the rest of the season. Lee, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app, mate?
Lee _Jackson_92.
Fantastic. And yourself, Mig?
At Migtavius, MIGTAVIUS.
Good man. Thank you both so much. Next week's Clash of the Correspondents is scheduled to return to Thursday because neither of the correspondents coming on have a wedding anniversary. Lee, enjoy yourself on Wednesday night. And it will be Norwich against Tottenham with FPL Badger and Ricky Saunders. You didn't think I wasn't going to finish the season with Tottenham, did you? That's all for now, folks. Thanks again to Lee and to Mig. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.